Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
You have that raising from the dead power, the greatest display of God's power that has ever existed in the history of the world. That same power is in you.
That is the gospel in one sentence right there. You've already got it.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm in the middle of my sixth week of teaching on a subject that I've entitled, You've Already Got It. And I think that this coming Friday I'm going to finish this series. And so that will be the last time that you'll be able to hear this advertised over my program. So I encourage you to please get these materials. I have covered some of the most important things that the Lord has ever shown me, things that have literally transformed my life. And I know this would work for you. And I have people come to my meetings, and you know, I go out and visit with people an hour before every service. I try and make myself available. I talk to a lot of people. We just had a conference this last weekend, and I probably talked to hundreds and hundreds of people that came to the thing. And I hear them talk, and they ask me for prayer. And I can tell you by talking to all of these people that they need to understand that they've already been healed, that they're already blessed, that they're already prospered. It's not a matter of trying to get God to do something. It's a matter of believing what He's already done and taking your authority and learning how to release what God has already given you. It's so much easier to release something that you have than it is to go get something that you don't have. And I've been teaching on this, like I said, this is into my sixth week. And what I was teaching on yesterday was people say, well, all right, I understand this. And I understand that I have Christ in me and that I have the supernatural raising from the dead power and all of these things, but I've got to believe and I just don't have any faith. I've had people ask me, would you please pray for me that God would give me faith? In the Bible, Luke chapter 17, Jesus' own disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And He basically told them, look, you don't need more faith. You need to use what you've got. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11 when His disciples were just blown away that He spoke to a tree and commanded it to die. And the next day, the thing was shriveled up and dead. And He never touched it. He didn't take an axe to it. He didn't pour salt on it. He just spoke to it. And they were shocked. And He says, look, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Right there, it shows that you have to believe what you're saying. So people say, well, see, I just don't have enough faith. Notice he says, if your faith is as a grain of mustard seed. Now that's from Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to get into that more tomorrow. But my point is, people say, all right, I believe all of these things are true, but I just don't have enough faith. And so they start from a position of a deficit that, God, I just need more faith. And they put themselves again, instead of in the position of a person with authority, they put themselves in the position of a beggar coming to God saying, oh, God, please help. What I began to share yesterday is that you have all of the faith that you need. You were given supernatural, God kind of faith when you got born again. In Romans chapter 4, it says that God calls those things that be not as though they were. God's kind of faith, He doesn't wait until He sees something and says, man, I believe it. No, God believes things and then makes it come into physical manifestation. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. God didn't wait until things appeared and said, oh man, I believe it. No, He believed it, and that's what caused everything to appear. God calls things that be not as though they are. It's a supernatural faith that is not limited by what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And when you got born again, you had to have this supernatural faith because you were believing in a God that you couldn't see. You were believing in a devil that you couldn't see. You were believing in a hell, heaven that you couldn't see, a hell that you couldn't see. You were believing in sins and being sins being wiped away, and you couldn't see that. You had to believe for supernatural things. So God gave you His supernatural faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And then it says in Romans 12, 3, that there is only one measure of faith. He has dealt to every born-again believer the measure of faith, not different measures. I don't have more faith than you do. We've got the measure of faith. And Paul said the measure of faith that he had was the faith of the Son of God, not faith in the Son of God, but he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He was using the exact same faith that Jesus used because Jesus gave us His faith. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If I had time, you could go through all nine of those things. And the love that Jesus gives isn't sexual love. It's not sensual love. It's not what the Bible says that I love apple pie and I love this movie and stuff like that. No, it's God kind of agape type of love. And it's a supernatural love. The joy that He gives is supernatural. And you can go through every one of those things. And faith is not just a human faith. It is supernatural faith. God has given you, if you have made Him your Lord, you have God's faith living on the inside of you, but you've got to make the connection. You know, I remember when I was a kid that my parents had this 1957 Chrysler Saratoga. And if you aren't familiar with that, it was the Chrysler. It was a huge deal. It had a Hemi engine in it, a push-button drive. And it had these fins on it. I called it my Batmobile. And anyway, when they got a new car, I inherited that car and I drove it. I loved that car. It was the first car that I ever had. And it was old at the time I got it, but it still was awesome. And anyway, I drove that thing until I nearly ran the wheels off of it. And that thing got to where it was dying on me. And I'm not a mechanic. And so, I have to make a disclaimer on everything I'm going to say right here. I may not get all of the specifics right on it, but this is the best that I remember. Anyway, that thing got to where it would die. It wouldn't start. I put a new battery in it. I put a number of different starters on the thing. I put a new alternator on it because the thing, one times when I'd get it started, it'd just be running and all of a sudden it'd die. And people told me it was because the alternator on the thing wasn't charging. It was broken. So I put new alternator, new battery, new starter. I did a lot of things. And over a year's period of time, that thing just got to where it was totally unreliable. And so I wound up giving it away. I gave it away to a guy who was a janitor at our church, and I just blessed him with it. And did you know what? He was a mechanic. And you know what the problem was? All of those things that I had replaced, all of them were working, but there was a loose battery cable. And this is embarrassing to say, but I spent bunches of money putting in new battery, new starters. I put in multiple starters, new alternator, all of these kind of things. And you know all it was? It was a loose connection. It wasn't making a good connection. And therefore, when the car was running, it wouldn't recharge the battery and things like this. And so the battery would wear down over time. And anyway, the guy just tightened the thing and all it was a loose connection. Everything that was needed was there. It just wasn't being connected properly. And I learned a lesson through that. And did you know, in a sense, that's what I'm saying about this. Everything that you need for success in the Christian life, you've already got it. You don't need more. You don't need to go get new parts. You don't need God to give you more faith. You don't need God to anoint you. You don't need all of these things. You've already been anointed. You've already got faith. But there's loose connections up here. We don't know. And because we don't understand the truth, and like it says in Philemon 1:6, the communication of our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing in us. Like it says over in 2 Peter chapter 1, everything that pertains unto life and godliness comes through the knowledge of Him. Because we don't have this knowledge, we got a loose connection. Things aren't connecting the way that they should. And we've got this supernatural power of God living on the inside of us. And the vast majority of Christians, it's not benefiting them in their physical body because there's a loose connection right here. You haven't renewed your mind. You've got to get in and start learning what you have. Instead of begging God for something more, begin to start using what you have. But you can't use it if you don't know that you have it. You know, what you don't know is killing you. The Scripture says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And this is what's happening in the body of Christ. The body of Christ believes that God is almighty, that God can do anything, but that He has done nothing. And so they are in the process of coming to Him as a beggar. "Oh God, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing, but we know that You can do all things. Would You stretch forth Your hand?" And they are in the process of begging God to heal this person, begging God to prosper them, begging God to intervene in their marriage, when the truth is God has already done everything. And He's put His supernatural power and authority on the inside of you and me. And it's not up to God whether people get healed. It's up to us. I know that that's offensive to a lot of people, but that is what the Bible teaches. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 1, He called unto Him His 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave us power to heal that. And down here, just a few verses, as He sent His disciples out, He told them in verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." He didn't tell us to pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. He didn't tell us to ask Him to cast out devils. He told us to cast out devils. If people aren't being healed, it's not because God's not doing it. It's because His people haven't taken their authority and they aren't healing the sick. Instead, they're praying, "Oh God, we have nothing. We can do nothing, but You can do it. Would You heal him?" He told you to heal the sick. He gave you power and authority. There's an example in the third chapter of the book of Acts where Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer and they saw a man laying there who had been lame from his mother's womb. He was born crippled. And you find out in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, after he was healed, it says that he was above 40 years old. So he had been laying there for 40 years, lame, begging for money. And Peter and John told him, "Such as I have," get this, "such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they reached out and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength and he went walking and leaping and praising God. They didn't say, "Oh God, we can't do anything, but we know that You could heal this man." See, that's the way that people pray today. And that's religious. And I would say that the vast majority of people watching this, you have embraced that. And that's probably the way that you've prayed at some time or another. But that's the reason people aren't being healed. You don't get people healed by saying, "Oh God, I am nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing." No, you've been given this supernatural power of God. God Almighty lives on the inside of you, and He told you to heal the sick. He didn't tell you to pray for them. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for them. You can pray, but as you pray, instead of begging and asking God to do it, pray and use your authority and command the healing to come. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, when He was telling His disciples how He was able to curse this fig tree and it died, He says, "You speak to the mountain and command this mountain to be removed." He didn't say, "Talk to God about your mountain." He said, "You talk to your mountain." That implies right there that you have the authority and power. You do it. You heal the sick. Over in James chapter 5, it says, If anybody's sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil and pray over him, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. But you have to pray a prayer of faith. You don't pray and say, "God, would you please heal this person?" No, you have to use your faith and you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, the average person isn't doing it this way. We come before God speaking forth our unbelief. Now, whether it's through rebellion or through ignorance, it doesn't matter. But we are saying, "God, we have nothing, we can do nothing." Right there, you've just stopped the flow of God because you aren't using the power that He's given you. You have to take authority. You have to speak to your problem, not talk to God about your problem, but talk to your problem about God. Use your authority and command things to change. And you know, I know that what I'm saying is offensive to religious people because I've been there and I was taught that we are nothing. Well, it's true that without Christ, we are nothing. Jesus said that in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. And that is absolutely true. And I believe that, but I'm never without Christ. If somehow or another you could just separate me and make me just a spirit and take my spirit away and make me just a soul and a body, well, I am nothing. Matter of fact, as it says in James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My spirit is the life-giving part of me, and if you could somehow or another separate my spirit from my body would fall down dead. My spirit is what gives life to it. And so without my spirit, yes, I'm dead. I'm nothing. I can do nothing. But I'm not without my spirit, and I'm never without God's spirit. And so it's true that without Jesus, I can do nothing, but I'm never without Him. And because He's in me, I have power and authority, and I've got to start acknowledging all of the good things that are in Christ Jesus to make my faith become effectual. You've got to understand that you've already got it. And quit approaching God as a nobody and as a beggar and as having no power. You need to approach Him in faith, understanding what you have, acknowledging those good things that are in you, and it'll make your faith become effectual. I tell you, this is powerful, what I'm saying. And specifically, what I've been talking about yesterday and today is that you already have that supernatural God kind of faith because you have the faith of Jesus. You don't have just your faith. It's not a human faith. There's not an Andrew faith and a Joe faith or a Susie faith or whatever your name is. No, it is the faith of Jesus that was given to us, and you've got everything there. You just have a loose connection. You just somehow or another aren't connecting the dots and letting the power of God flow through you. And that's what this whole teaching is about. You've already got it. You don't need God to give you more. What you've got to do is get into the Word of God and renew your mind. Start making those connections so that the power that God placed on the inside of you can flow through your soul, through your mental part, and into your physical body and see physical healing, financial blessing, joy, peace, all of these physical things that we need. But in the Spirit, you've already got it. You don't need God to give you more. You don't need more. Actually, what you need is less. You need less carnal thinking, less being like the world, less looking at yourself as being only human. You know, there's a Christian song that has a catchy tune, but it goes, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. And it's a sad song about, I just am struggling, everything's wrong, help me to muddle through, I'm just human, I'm just a man. That's terrible. I'm not just human. There's a part of me that is human. I've got a mortal body. I've got a mind, and I certainly don't do everything right and think correctly all the time, and I don't know all things in my little peanut-sized brain up here. I'll grant you that. But in the Spirit, I am not only human. I am born again. I have the life of God living on the inside of me. I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. I don't need any man to teach me, but that anointing will teach me all things. That's verse 27, 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. And then I have been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that has created me. Man, just on and on it goes. In my spirit, I'm as complete and pure as I will ever be in eternity. My spirit is not going to be changed. It's not going to have to be injected with more power. I'm not going to have to somehow or another be laundered and washed and cleansed from all the defilement, because my spirit, when I got born again, it was created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. Then Ephesians 1:13, it was immediately sealed, vacuum-packed by the Holy Spirit, so that when I, as a Christian, fail in my actions or in my thoughts, that may defile my soul and my body, but that it doesn't penetrate the seal around my spirit. My spirit is as holy and pure as it was the day it was born again, and it will ever be in eternity. My spirit is not going to fluctuate. It's over. My spirit salvation is complete. It's as complete right this moment as it will ever be. And the rest of the Christian life isn't asking God for more, isn't asking God to give me faith, to give me joy, to give me healing, to give me peace. No, I've already got all of these things. The rest of the Christian life is renewing my mind, tightening those connections, making sure that the power that's in me can flow through my soul into my physical body. And as I do that, man, the power of God is manifest. This has revolutionized my life. You know, I am not the perfect example. There's still things I'm believing for. I haven't seen everything come to pass. I'm still green and I'm still growing. But I have seen God perform miracles for me, through me. I've seen God raise people from the dead, my own son, my own wife from the dead. I've seen miracles of every kind. People come out of wheelchairs, blind eyes, deaf ears open. I've seen God provide financially. I've seen in every area of my life, these truths that I'm sharing with you have transformed me personally. I've seen this flow through me and touch other people. I've seen people's lives just totally transformed through this, and I am absolutely convinced that this would work for you if you get it. And yet, it's something that I can't argue you into. You have to receive this by revelation. There's some of you that have been listening to this, and you know it sparks something on the inside of you. You're kind of getting a glimmer of this, but if you don't continue, if you don't pursue this, I guarantee you, you'll go back to your normal way of thinking. You'll go back to thinking like everybody else. You'll go to living as just a mere man or woman. But I'm telling you that you have a part of you that is supernatural. You have a part of you that has been recreated in the very image of God. You've got God Almighty, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the potential in you is absolutely awesome, but it's not going to happen if you continue to just defer and say, God, it's up to you. No, God has placed that power, that authority on the inside of you. It's up to you to renew your mind. And as quick as you can renew your mind, and you can begin to start putting into practice the things that we're talking about, you can release this supernatural power. You can heal the sick, and you will see them recover. It's not your power. It's God's power, but it's in you, and it's at your disposal. It's at your command. You have to start taking this authority, understand what you've got, and start using it.
Welcome to the AWM Minute, a small glimpse at how the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College are bringing healing and freedom to people in every generation, people like Allison Rolla. At 8 years old, Allison was diagnosed with alopecia universalis, a rare and incurable disease that causes the total loss of hair. She was bald for over a decade until one day she was introduced to a message from Andrew Womack.
And I mean, the light bulb went off, like, oh, I don't have to do anything to earn healing. I don't have to fast. I don't have to pray. I don't have to beg. I literally do not even have to ask you. You already healed me. And it was so empowering because I was finally free of this works mentality.
Today, Allison is completely healed. And with a full head of hair, she now inspires others to receive their healing in Christ. To watch the full healing journey of Allison Rolla, visit awmi.net today.
Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God already had determined a purpose for your life, a God-given purpose.
God has a purpose to train you in what you're called to do, and I tell you, Charis Bible College is the place for that.
Man, if you want a life change, come to Charis.
Come on to Charis!
The next 2 to 3 years could be the most powerful time of your life.
If you sit under the Word for 4 hours a day, for 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years, I guarantee you, you are going to have God speak to you and start revealing purpose to you. Every one of you were created for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is?
I want to let all of our TV viewers know that on the 24th of July, we are having what we call Charis Day live stream. And this is where I will be broadcasting to all of our locations around the world. We have well over 50 locations in many different countries, and I will be broadcasting and just talking to you about the benefits of signing up. You do have to register for this, and so if you'll go to charisday.com and register, then you can go and participate in this live stream on July the 24th. So check it out and join me for our Charis Day live stream.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, You've Already Got It, is available in a book, CD, or DVD album, study guide, and also in a special package offer. Go to awmi.net or call our helpline at 719-635-1111 to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today we want to stop our normal procedure and highlight Andrew's greatest gift to the world, and that's no exaggeration. This is like receiving a piece of his very heart and soul. The combination of all his Bible study and personal encounters with God for more than 50 years. It's all here. It's distilled together in personal notes and delivered to you in a software that we call the Living Commentary. Your Bible questions will be answered, your doubts addressed, and your mind renewed as you walk through the Bible with Andrew Womack as your guide. Nothing brings him more joy than having friends and partners like you grow into the fullness of the revelation of God's Word. And Andrew continues in the Word every day, and his latest discoveries continue to be updated in his software, making the commentary flow like a river of living water. Make this commentary your living connection to Andrew himself, and see the Word of God come alive in you as you share his meditations on over 25,000 scriptures. And to make it available to as many people as possible, Andrew's priced this treasure at only $120. Go to awmi.net and download it today to start your journey to a deeper life in Christ with Andrew's Living Commentary. You can also order the Living Commentary by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline's open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to let you know that we have now started a Charis Daily live Bible study. We've been doing a Bible study every Tuesday night live for about 2 years, but now we have 5 days a week. We've varied the times so that we can accommodate anybody's schedule, and it's going to really be good. We're going to use our instructors from the school, and it'll be a blessing. So remember, we now have a Charis Daily live Bible study 5 days a week.